Last 6 weeks, we've been on a journey called Hearing from God. And we've been asking God specific questions every week and fasting and praying and listening for His voice and His answers. And you can't go through 6 weeks like that of being intentional to draw closer to God and to be in His presence and to hear His voice without having to hear some testimonies about what God has spoken. And we've asked two people tonight to come and share a little testimony about their journey in hearing with God from God. And I'm going to ask Di Monza to come. And when she's finished, our friend Bob Springman will follow her. So Di, would you please come at this time?
Hi. As you heard, Pastor Rich asked about the last 6 weeks and about hearing from God and what it meant to me and what I got out of it. And first of all, I want to say thank you to Pastor Rich for this assignment. It was a wonderful thing to go through. And it's nice to be reminded to do these things sometimes. I got a lot out of each week, but I think just to kind of total in summation, I want to talk about the most important thing to me, and that is to know God. Spending time reading His Word, spending time studying His Word. But that's knowing about Him. That's not knowing Him. Knowing about the Lord is having an intimate relationship with Christ and spending time with Him, just like in any other relationship. We have to spend time with the people that we care about to have an intimate relationship with them. And so I started thinking, what do I do with God? How do I spend time with Him? And I pray, I worship Him, I give Him thanks every day. I praise Him for everything He's given me. I ask Him for His help. I ask Him for help for others. I try to include Him in my life every day and just keep talking to Him. So in the last 6 weeks of fasting and actually taking time to listen, to hear Him, what I realized was that without hearing from God, without listening to Him, I was having one-way communication with Him. And I started thinking about one-way communication and what that would be like in my relationships with my friends or my husband or the people I care about. If only one person got to talk all the time and one person had to listen all the time, and what kind of relationship that would be, and it would be pretty lopsided. So I was thinking, what does Jesus want to tell me? What does He want me to work on as far as character building? How does He want me to serve? And how does He want me to give? And when and where? So hearing from God, to me, meant stopping. Stopping everything that I was doing and giving Him my full attention. And a great example came up in the women's Bible study. Last week we were studying Mary and Martha. And both of them just loved Jesus tremendously. And they had different gifts. And we talked about how Martha, her gift was hospitality. And when Jesus came in, she wanted to serve Him. And that's her gift. And we talked about Mary. Mary's gift, I decided, was the gift of listening. She immediately just sat at Jesus' feet and listened to anything and everything He had to say. And I started thinking, when do I do that? So what I've learned in the last 6 weeks is that I can know about God by reading His Word, studying Bible studies, reading other Christian books, and that's all good. It's all bueno. But when I want to know Him, when I want to improve my relationship with Him and have intimacy with Christ, I have to have two-way communication with Him, because it won't work if I'm just doing all the talking. So I've decided that I want to give him my full attention by stopping and listening so that I can hear him when he wants to teach me, when he wants to guide me, when he wants to correct me, when he wants to show me how to be a better me, how he wants me to give, how he wants me to serve, and when he's telling me how much he loves me. I can open his word and I can read that he loves me, and that's wonderful. But if I stop and listen and I hear him telling me how much he loves me, there's nothing better. So I just want to give God all the glory for every single thing in my life and everyone in my life. And I also want to give him the glory for the ability to stand up here and share with you. Thank you.
Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Yet we hear about Mother Nature. I think in this group, we at least give God the glory, and I pray that that continues and grows. Here in San Carlos, recently we had, we broke up into small groups for evening lectures. I see several of the people that have shared the Truth Project. If you've never done that one, there's nothing I can recommend higher than that. I thought I was a pretty strong Christian going in, but I have grown a lot in that short few weeks. And so it will be given again. If you haven't done it and you get the opportunity, do it. You owe it to yourself and to God. Short time back, we had a med team here at Rocky Mountain Mission. I see several people that participated with that. I happened to be out there as an interpreter, using some of the skills that the Army gave me with the Spanish language. The last day, after interpreting all day for the nurses and sorting out new patients, I was called into the tent with the physical therapist. And the team had never in past years had a physical therapist, but we did this year. And three of the women that I had seen when we screened through the nurses came in with disabilities, walking with limps. One had been hit by a car 7 years previous and had walked with a limp ever since. The therapist told her there's no quick heal for that, that there was nothing she could do in a short-term one-day visit that could repair the damage done. But she asked her if she believed that the Lord could heal her. She said yes. We prayed over her and laid hands on her, and she walked out like nothing ever happened. Three times, almost the same scenario, except the last one showed a little doubt, and she felt some pain. So there's nothing magic. You pray to the healer. He answers when he will, in his time. I had never personally witnessed that before. Heard stories of healing prayer, all kinds of magic spring water that can be applied. People that if you only donate enough here, you get help there. This was indeed a miracle, and there's only one answer. God is here and active in San Carlos. Thank you.
My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love.
My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy.
Cristo, mi rey, nadie es como tú. Todo mi vida quiero exaltar las maravillas de tu amor.
Isn't it great to have a good worship team like that?
Yes.
And, thank you, worship team, for leading us with your enthusiasm and vibrancy and guitars and keyboards and the whole nine yards. You got me? All right. I get signals from the back. Turn your mic on. Hey, open your Bibles, if you would, with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. It's page 403 in the back, of in the red Bibles. 403 in the front, I should say, not in the back. I don't know what I'm thinking about back for, but 403. We're in the book of Nehemiah. We've been there for the last 6 weeks. We've used this book as our journey of listening and hearing from God. And the reason is because the wall in Jerusalem was in a mess. And the wall was torn down, and Nehemiah, this great man of God, hears the report that his friends and his brothers and of Judah are in trouble, and they're in distress, and he listens to God, and he begins to fast and pray as we have been. And he begins to ask God, God, what do you want me to be a part of? What do you want me to do in all of this thing? And God says, Nehemiah, I want you to go back. I want you to be a leader. And I want you to lead your people in the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. And he gets permission from the king to go, as we've read this story through and worked through it in these last weeks. And he led the people in rebuilding the wall. And we're to that point in chapter 8 where the wall is finished. And as you can see up here, the title, there's a great rejoicing that took place and amongst the people. And that's what we're doing this week, is weekend. We're rejoicing as well. And I want to look at, really just for the sake of reading it, we're going to look through kind of the whole chapter. But for right now, verses 17 and 18. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths. For from the days of Jeshua, or Joshua as we know it, the son of Nun, to that day, the people of Israel had not done so. And there was very great rejoicing. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. Let's just pray for a moment and ask God to meet us in this text here tonight. Lord, without the Holy Spirit's help, we can't understand any of this tonight. But we're grateful that we have the Spirit of the living God who dwells richly in us. And Lord, we would ask that the Holy Spirit tonight, Holy Spirit, would you reveal truth to us? Would you speak truth into our lives tonight? God, would you do what you want to accomplish here? And we're so grateful for your word tonight, the word of truth. Father, meet us in this place, living God. We thank you for the privilege to be called your children. And Lord, we want to hear from you. We desire to hear from you as we have these last 6 weeks. Lord, help us to listen tonight, and help us to respond with open hearts and right attitudes. And God, do what you want to in each of us and in us corporately as a body. In Jesus' name, amen. The wall is finished. It's done. And there was very great rejoicing, verse 17 says. And if you would look back to farther to chapter 12, it says the exact same thing. It says there in chapter 12 that they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard all over the place in the other nations. There was great joy. Can I ask you a question? I mean, how does Israel go from being in chapter 1, verse 3, it says they're in great trouble and shame, to suddenly now in chapter 8 and chapter 12 into exuberant joy? I mean, what brings this kind of change in their attitude? Well, context is everything. And here in chapter 8, it's obvious that there are specific elements that turned their trouble and shame into great rejoicing. And I'm going to talk to you about four elements that I think are keys in our lives. And maybe we'll get there on PowerPoint. Maybe we won't. I sure hope so. Lord, would you heal the PowerPoint? You can heal those women that Bob testified. Lord, would you heal the PowerPoint? What will bring, here's the question we want to address tonight. What will bring true joy to your life? I mean true joy. Not this false stuff. Not this stuff that's fleeting, that comes one moment and then it's gone in a few hours later or a moment later when a circumstance happens. What will bring true joy to our lives? Well, the first one is this. Thank you, guys. Hearing the Word of God will bring true joy to your life. Hearing the word will bring true joy. The people had joy because they suddenly were hearing the word of God. Look with me at verses 2 and 3 of chapter 8. I'm just going to put your nose in the Bible tonight, okay? Verses 2 and 3 of chapter 8. It says there, so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. In other words, before all the people, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard. And on the first day of the seventh month, and he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people, listen, were attentive to the book of the law. They were giving themselves to the hearing of the Word of God. Listen, you want change in your life? You want true joy in the core of your being? You've got to get yourself to become attentive to the Word of God. Are you attentive to the Word? One of the main reasons that we're celebrating this weekend, this celebration weekend, is that we've had the joy, as Di has testified tonight, of hearing God, of sitting at His feet as Mary did, and listening to Him, to the Word of God, and to asking Him questions about it. And we've been intentional for the last 6 weeks, more intentional, many of us, in just listening, ever listening to what the Lord has to say. We've been more attentive to reading God's Word and letting that truth pour over our lives and permeate down into our hearts. And when you do that, friend, when you get intentional and let the Word of God permeate your life, something's going to change. Something's going to happen inside of you. There's going to be a newfound freedom that's going to wash over your life. You say, Rich, really? Well, I'm not blowing smoke. James, in the New Testament, says this in chapter 1, verse 25. He says, to the one who looks into the perfect law, the Bible, the one who looks into the Word of God, the law of liberty, and perseveres, in other words, keeps on looking, being no hearer who forgets what it says, but a doer who acts on it, that person will be blessed in what he's doing. You want true joy in your life, friend? You begin to look intently into the Word of God, and you begin to let that Word flow over your life and saturate your soul. That's the first element to attaining true joy in your life. Here's the second one, just out of the text, verses 9 and 11. Eventually, what brought joy was the conviction of their hearts. They had to go through some stuff first. They had to get some stuff behind them. Look at verse 9 with me. And Nehemiah, who was now by this time the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then they said to them, go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. Got to ask the question of the text. Why were they grieving? Why were they mourning? Why were they weeping? They were weeping and mourning and grieving because as the law was read, as the law is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it permeates your life, as it was being read, they realized how guilty they had been in the past for violating the law of God and the covenant that God had made with them. They were weeping because they realized how their sin had led them to the brink of disaster, that the holy city of God would have been leveled at that time period in history. That the walls would be torn down, and that the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people would be allowed to just walk into the holy city of God and take control of it and ruin it. And they would be exiled out of the holy city of God and Jerusalem destroyed. They were crying. They were crying because their hearts were convicted of sin. Do you know what I'm so thankful for? I'm so thankful today that God doesn't leave us in that state of despair, aren't you? that when the Word of God is read and it permeates and washes over our lives, we're thankful that God forgives and He extends grace and He extends mercy and abundant grace to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We don't have to be trapped in a continual state of despair and weeping and mourning as some people are. Some people never get out of that state. Did you know that? They're trapped there and stuck there. And that's why their joy is missing. You see, something's wrong in their theological thinking. And they've never moved into abundant grace. And they've never moved into abundant forgiveness that the blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary provides for all who will receive it by faith. They've never moved into redemption, that Jesus redeemed and exchanged His life for yours and for mine. And they're stuck there. But the Bible, I'm so grateful, tells us in 1 John, if we confess our sin as we're mourning and grieving over it, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us and wash us clean from all our unrighteousness. You see, conviction of the heart, it's the guilt of the mind. It's the recognition that I have been born with a sin nature inside of me from the moment I came out of my mother's womb. And when I go to the Lord recognizing that, and I recognize that I need God's forgiveness to be right with Him and experience true eternal life and therefore true joy, I can have that sin nature forgiven once and for all. And it's only through Jesus Christ who died to take away my guilt that I can experience that true forgiveness and that true mercy and that true grace that comes from heaven above as a free gift. I can have that true freedom that comes, that cleanses my guilty conscience from everything. Have you experienced that? You see, conviction of the heart comes from the hearing of the Word of God. And when you're hearing the Word of God and that conviction comes to our soul, and when we confess our sin nature, I'm completely forgiven in the sight of God. And what comes out of that forgiveness? It's the third thing, the freedom to share with other people. To share God's goodness with others. Look at verses 10 and 12 with me. Are you with me? This is really important. Then He said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready." There's a very important phrase. Send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And all the people went their way, verse 12, to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. From where? From the holy word of God, the law of God. They'd understood what God had instructed. You see, when the hearing of the Word of God takes place and sin is let go of, the goodness of God moves in, and there's a change. There's a change that takes place in the heart of God's people. There's a newfound dependence on God. Nehemiah words it like this: the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. Have you got that? Is that yours? Can you say that wholeheartedly? The joy of the Lord is my strength, no matter what the circumstances of this life are throwing at you. And when the joy of the Lord becomes your strength, your focus changes and you begin, instead of focusing on yourself, you begin to consider others and you begin to care for other people and you begin to care about what's going on in their lives, as Bob Springman cared about those women that they were praying over that day on the medical team. And that little phrase in verse 10, they sent food or verse 12, I guess it is, to those who had nothing prepared. See, that's what happens when you begin to care about other people. When your focus changes. When you've read the Word of God and you've felt the conviction of sin and you've confessed that sin and you realize the forgiveness and the grace of God, suddenly it becomes different. It becomes not about you, not about you, not about you, but about the Lord and about God's people. You know, that's exactly what we do here at San Carlos Community Church. We believe in sharing and caring for people, and we do that very intentionally on multiple levels. I just got a few pictures to show you. One of the ways that we do that every year is through the backpack ministry. And every year we gather our people and we say, bring stuff to fill backpacks. And at Christmas time, we go out and we begin to give away backpacks. And this last December, we gave over 1,000 backpacks away, distributed around the area here. Isn't that a whale of amount? 1,000 backpacks. And actually, I think it was 1,100. I just downgraded it, but whatever. Doesn't matter the number. You know, the joy on their faces when we do that. As we go out and we gather the churches and the pastors and the Mexican churches and they gather their people and we go and distribute them. And the kids are so excited as we come and they get and are shared with from our hearts. Another way that we do that is in our medical teams that Bob testified about. This year, just a couple of weeks ago, over a 10-day period or so, 1,600 people were ministered to in one form or another, cared for on our medical outreach teams. Look at the people lining up there waiting to see a doctor or a nurse or to get eyeglasses. And here's a wife probably bringing her husband to the medical team outreach. And here's the medical team praying and preparing their hearts and letting the Spirit of God take control of them as they begin their day to care for the people that God is about to bring to them. And here's Dr. John ministering to a patient there in the medical triage tent. And here's our friend Alfredo. This guy's just been fitted with a brand new pair of glasses, and Alfredo's showing him, you know what he's showing him? He's showing him the gospel, the Word of God. And he's saying, not can you hear me now? He's saying, can you read it now? Can you read it now? Is it working? You see, the sharing of God's goodness, when your life is changed, part of celebrating that life change and celebrating the newfound joy inside of you is sharing God's goodness with others. And we must always be faithful and not lose heart in doing that. It's not about us, it's about God and them, God's people, who He's put in our life. Here's the last one real quickly, obedience to the Lord. Israel's obedience turned into celebration. I get this from verse 17. We already read it at the beginning. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths from the days of Jeshua the son of Nun to that day the people of Israel had not done so, and there was very great rejoicing. You see, when the people opened the law of God, when Ezra began to read the law to the people, they quickly discovered that they had not been being obedient to God. They'd been violating the Word of God. For the law commanded that they celebrate a special feast on the seventh month to commemorate God's bringing the people out of the land of Egypt from 400 years of bondage and slavery. And the way that they were to celebrate that from that point on was on the seventh month of every year was to take branches from trees and build little booths and live in them during those 7 days. They were to remember and to celebrate and live in those booths. Leviticus chapter 23 says it like this: live in booths for 7 days so your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Nehemiah and Ezra they bring out the book of the law, and Ezra begins to read it, and they quickly discover that they had not been commemorating the Feast of Booths that God had commanded them to. So the people, wanting to be in a right relationship with God, go out, and verse 16 says, and they gathered the branches from the trees and the hills, and they bring them back, and they make booths, and they begin to dwell in them, and they begin to obey the Lord. And verse 17 brings the whole thing to a climax. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths, for from the days of Joshua the son of Nun to that day, the people of Israel had not done so. And here it comes. And there was very great rejoicing. You see, their obedience turned into celebration. How can we, as a people here in San Carlos Community Church, continue to experience the closeness of our relationship with God the way it is, like it is right now? How can our closeness to the Lord continue to grow and be nurtured and cultivated? How can we stay intentionally pursuing Him as He pursues us? Number one, get yourself under the Word every day. Don't let a day go by without getting yourself intentionally under the Word of God. Number two, when God brings conviction to your heart that something's not right, confess it and put it before the Lord and deal with it immediately, just like that. And as soon as you confess, the joy of the Lord's going to sweep right over you, because you'll be cleansed from the inside out. And as you're cleansed and you're experiencing that joy, share it with others by offering God's goodness to them and those around you. And fourthly, let our lives be testimonies of obedience. You know, my biggest challenge, not as a pastor, but simply as a disciple of Jesus Christ, is to make myself completely obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. To will my obedience even when my flesh says I don't want to. How's your obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? And there was very great rejoicing, a celebration of joy. You know what? This is not in your booklet that you've been having in your hand the last 6 weeks, but I couldn't resist the temptation. Why stop now? I have another question for you to fast and pray about this coming week. You might need to write it down or at least make note of it in your head, because it's nowhere written anywhere but on this PowerPoint. Here it is. Lord, would you show me the areas where my obedience is lacking? Can you imagine what God might speak to us this week if we fast and pray and ask this question? God, would you show me where my obedience is lacking? And as Di said, it takes two-way communication. Once you've asked it, you have to stop and listen for God's answer. Lord, show me the areas where my obedience is lacking. Well, today we're taking a celebration offering to our God. It's really about Touch San Carlos and our vision that every man, woman, and child would have an opportunity in this entire region and all of Mexico to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to believe that and be changed and experience the joy that we're talking about here tonight. We're asking you to invest in this ministry. If you're a regular attender here, those of you who are guests for the first time tonight or second time or whatever, just take a moment of pause, and if you want to leave $1 million on the way out the door, go ahead. No, I'm just kidding you. Don't feel any obligation. But we're asking our own people who call this their church home to invest in this ministry for future years. And we're asking you to touch people's lives by the generosity of your giving. And we have kind of what I call a 4-5-pronged approach, I guess it is. Number one, worship. Worship is the center of everything we do here at St. Carlos Community Church. It's out of this gathering every weekend that everything else happens here. There wouldn't be any medical team and there wouldn't be a backpack ministry if it wasn't for the gathering on the weekends of the worship of God's people in this place. There wouldn't be any small groups. There wouldn't be any women's ministry. There wouldn't be any men's ministry. There wouldn't be any missions outreach that we support 12 individual missionaries and then all the other missions that we do along with it. Everything we do evolves around our worship gathering in this place. Therefore, part of our ministry expansion campaign is $50,000 up front, first of all, to missions, to the disenfranchised people of life who've been beat up and are desperate and broken. And then $300,000 we're asking to consider giving prayerfully to build some kind of a new worship meeting place. Somehow, some way. Remember what I said last week, you were here. It's not about the bricks and the mortar. It's about changed lives and changed hearts. And we recognize as we ask you to give to that because worship is the center that produces everything else that we're able to do in the kingdom of God here in San Carlos, Mexico. And you know, there's other stuff that comes out of that. You know, there's the musical cantatas that we use as intentional outreaches in Christmas time and now one coming up in Easter. And this year we've not only gone to one, we've gone to two each time we presented and we're touching San Carlos by inviting our friends and neighbors to come in and do that in separate services. People are starting neighborhood Bible studies out in the community this year. And some pretty exciting testimonies coming out of that with their neighbors who are not necessarily church attenders. People are doing more friendship evangelism all the time because they're buying into and taking hold of what Touch San Carlos really means. You see, some people still think it's some big magic wand that we're going to wave over the entire region and suddenly everybody's going to come to know Jesus Christ. Hey, I got news for you. It doesn't work that way. You know how it works? It works by Rich and Karen Hubert beginning to pray for their next door neighbors and doing 3 and 4 and 5 arounds praying over them and then getting up alongside of them and shaking their hands and getting acquainted with them and inviting them over to dinner and making sure that you're caring for them and walking alongside of them. I'll tell you a little story, and I think I'm pretty safe in saying it tonight. I met my neighbor today out at the bazaar. Now, he and I have really only, he's several doors down from us. You know, I have had street conversations. Hi, how you doing? You know, isn't it a nice day? And he comes by and says, boy, you really take nice care of your property. And yeah, and then, you know, we break. So today I walked up, he was behind the hamburger stand, and I went up to get some hamburgers. And I said, well, how's my neighbor? And he said, well, Padre, good to see you. And I said, are you behaving yourselves? His wife was there with him. And he said, well, are you behaving yourself? And I said, no, I make it a practice never to do that. He laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. You see, we're on the avenue and the path to drawing up to friendship evangelism with those dear neighbors of ours as we humbly and faithfully continue to pray for them. And then there's all the physical and the social needs that we meet as we hear people afflicted or people passing away or people who are hungry and needy and all those kinds of things. But you know what? It all comes out of worship. It all begins here. The impetus for the gathering of God's people and the celebration of praise and the hearing of the Word of God and the conviction of sin and the sharing with others and the exuberant joy that comes out of that because we choose to be obedient to the Lord, it starts right here. And you know what? With all my heart, I believe that God is so honoring our conviction to those principles that we are growing at a tremendous rate We are a congregation of what I've termed changing faces. And it's happening constantly. In this last year, these dear folks have become part of San Carlos Community Church. Right, Natalie? We're a congregation of changing faces. We're not the same. You know, I took a count on just those pictures alone, and I don't have all the pictures. I couldn't put them all up there because I don't have them. There's a lot more that should be in that. That's just from the last year. I counted over 60 faces with the children and everything in just that group of pictures alone. 60 brand new people this last year, plus all the others I don't have pictures for, are calling San Carlos Community Church their home. We're not the same anymore. I want to do a little survey real quickly. How many of you have been in San Carlos 10 years or longer? Would you please stand? 10 years or longer. Look around, church. How many, stay standing, please. How many of you have been in San Carlos 5 years or longer? Would you stand? How many of you have been in San Carlos 2 years or longer? San Carlos Community Church, San Carlos as a home, you please stand. Over two-thirds of this congregation standing. You may be seated. Somebody back in the late 80s and the early 90s, somebody had a vision for you to be able to worship in this place in San Carlos, Mexico. Somebody was dreaming a dream, and somebody was giving, and somebody was praying. And we heard a testimony a week ago Thursday night at our potluck that there was only like 10 or 15 or 20 people, it wasn't very many, who were the originators of this facility on this property. I mean, 20 people had a vision that you, dear people, would meet in this place at this time. Somebody had a vision that you and I could call this place home and centrally worship here and do the things that we do out of this place. You know, our church constitution says this: the purpose of this organization shall be to provide for fivefold things: the worship of God, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, the leading of people to the personal knowledge of their salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the administration of the two ordinances, communion and baptism, as given in the New Testament, and the spreading of the gospel in the community and throughout the world. On any given moment, we ought to be asking ourselves, are we fulfilling our purpose? And I'm here to challenge you tonight that we are fulfilling our purpose when we embrace the vision of Touch San Carlos. And it all begins right here. In your bulletin and in your booklet, you had a little commitment card. We've asked you to consider filling that out and making it a commitment to our Touch San Carlos Ministry Expansion Campaign. You don't necessarily need to give tonight, but if you could tell us if you're intending to give over the next 12 months or so, we would certainly appreciate that. And in just a moment, we're going to collect those cards along with our regular offering of tithes and offerings. We're only going to pass the basket once. We won't be like the black church who didn't get enough the first time and said, "Brothers, there's more out there. We got to pass the basket again." We only pass it once here. But I want to say thank you for giving. I want to say thank you for embracing a big vision. I want to say thank you for helping us fulfill the purposes that this ministry was designed around way back in the early 90s as it was put into practice. I want to say thank you for being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what? Somewhere along that line, we could have recounted the story. And Malachi, the book, recounts it. Somewhere along the line, when people stop being obedient to God, when people start focusing more on themselves and caring less about others, you know what happens to their offerings? It stays in their billfold and in their own bank account. And instead of giving to God our very best, as the Scripture exhorts over and over in the New Testament, the first fruits of everything that He's given us, the people of Israel fell into the sacrilegious act of giving the diseased animals and the lame animals and the secondary things to God. I'm praying that you'll give the first fruits to this ministry expansion campaign, and that'll be indicated on your cards as you give so generously. Chapter 12, verse 43, and I will read it again. There came a day when they did indeed dedicate the rebuilt wall to the glory of God. It must have been a marvelous sight. It says there that Ezra and Nehemiah developed a choir, a huge grand choir, and they divided them in two. And Ezra took one half of the choir and walked up on the south wall, and they marched along the wall and lined up. And Nehemiah took the other half of the choir and went on the north wall and walked along the top of the wall. And they sang there and dedicated and rejoiced that wall to the glory of God. And that's what chapter 12, verse 43, and they eventually met at the front of the temple there and rejoiced together. And they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. Let's pray. Oh, that we feel that kind of joy in our hearts, living God, as we hear your word, as we confess the sin of our guilt, as we begin to experience the joy that comes flooding in when we're released from that and we begin to share the goodness of what you've done in our lives with others around us. And as we give ourselves to be wholly obedient to you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the privilege to know you and to be known by you. Help us to continually draw closer, to continually be intentional to hear your voice. Help us to desire, to hunger and thirst for your word in our lives that is the light and the life of men, the Scripture says. Thank you, Jesus, for being our answer to this life and to the next. And thanks for the exuberant joy that comes flooding in and stays there, never to be taken away, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Lamb of God, has sacrificed himself on the cross and risen from the dead. And the King of Glory comes in to the heart who believes him. Thanks for the free gift, God, that you have given to us, that whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved.
that our sins can be forgiven, that we can live in holiness and godliness and righteousness. And we can even have our marriages healed, as we saw at the beginning of the service tonight. They don't have to be ugly and painful and despairing, because they're a gift from you. They're a picture of Jesus Christ and the church and his relationship with us. God, we bless you. We bless you for these gifts that are about to be given. Father, I pray that we would indeed give out of the generosity of what you've first given to us. Lord, break down walls and barriers. Open our hands and our hearts. Teach us to learn what it means to be open-handed in our giving, that everything that you have given to us can freely pass through our hand for the sake and the glory of your name and the work in the kingdom. Help us not to be tight-fisted. Help us to release to you everything, for we recognize that when we give you everything, you have promised to give us everything in return. We want all of you, and we give you all of us by faith. So Lord, with joy, with celebration, with thanksgiving in our hearts, we give to you not only our tithes and our offerings tonight, but our commitments to the Touch San Carlos ministry expansion campaign. You do, God, what you will with it. And we'll be content and rejoice in whatever that is. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.